Hello, Tim.
Pierre, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I was just thinking about all that food you brought us last time we were in town.
From a great vegetarian restaurant here called Veg.
I know.
It was, you guys, I assume, are still vegetarians, right?
Absolutely.
Excellent. We would love to have you. The offer still holds. I'm looking at your tour schedule, and it doesn't look like you have even a single night off anywhere near Philly, but the offer still holds. If you get a night off or even an afternoon, there's some great veggie restaurants that I'd love to escort you and the guys to.
We would love to, for sure.
It's 93.3 WMMR, and we have the pleasure of the company of Tim McElrath of the great band Rise Against. They are on tour this summer, and they'll have AFI and Anti-Flag with them. And we have the luck of the draw that they're coming to Philadelphia to Festival Pier at Penn's Landing on August 4th. The tickets are on sale. Tim, good day to you. How are you?
I'm great, Pierre. How are you doing?
Just really, really well, thank you. I'm so pleased that this album continues to live so strong. I want to ask you about that in just a second. But Morning in America is the name of the tour, and you guys have always spoken out on a number of social issues, and the Kids March on Washington has just occurred, and I'm curious what your take on that was. That was just last Saturday.
I was so excited about seeing the March on Washington because I felt like the nation got to see on a grand scale what we get to see as a band at our shows on a smaller scale every night. And that's that there is an incredible, vibrant, enthusiastic, and passionate generation of kids out there who are hungry and excited to put their hand on the steering wheel of history and start steering. So when I saw that stuff and I saw all these marches and all the people, you know, what it looked like to me was sort of the big grand picture of what our front row looks like every night. And that's something I'm always trying to kind of share with people and kind of communicate to people. Like, you don't understand, these kids are amazing. They're smart. They're intelligent, and they're dedicated, and they care about what's happening in the world. And they're learning so much about right and wrong in this decade. And they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And so you kind of saw that manifest itself in those marches.
Yeah, it was really inspiring. It takes me to a quote I had read that you had given in one interview that I think sort of speaks to this in a way. You said, quote, "Putting a microphone in my hand and putting a pen to paper, that's what I'm most passionate about. That's why I got into music. I didn't get into music to sell tickets and T-shirt. It was really to put these ideas down and commit them to song and hope that someone else may hear them, relate to them, and not feel so crazy and alone." I really like that.
Yeah, that's where we came from. You know, that's kind of the punk and hardcore we came from. It's also where bands like AFI and Anti-Fly came from, too. You know, and so that's why it's so exciting to be sharing the road with just some really good people, good musicians, and some guys that are in it for the right reasons.
I love expanding people's, what I call their concert resume. So I tell people on a regular basis here on the air, and I've been on for a long time, and MMR's been on for 50 years come April. And I like to tell people, now, this may be your comfort zone, but try this. You know, it's like going to a restaurant. Try this dish. No, have you tried this one? I know you love this one, but what would you say to someone who's never seen Rise Against? What would you say to them to encourage them to come out and check out what it is that you guys have to offer?
I mean, I'd like to think that Rise Against lives in a different space than a lot of bands that we might be sharing the airwaves with. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on the message. There's like some more substance to the music, and we don't look at what we do as purely entertainment. And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at music as purely entertainment. I think we should all have those bands, or, you know, or if a band exists for those reasons, I think that's totally great. Those are my favorite bands too. But Rise Against are kind of the black sheep in that world. We have a little bit more of a responsibility to the music and the message. We're not afraid to get serious. We're not afraid to get political. We're not afraid to alienate fans. You know, we're not afraid to do any of those things. You know, we're a band that, with this band, the foundation of this band was our opinions. And so we don't sort of follow the same rules that a lot of bands follow. And we're kind of unapologetic about it. So the Rise Against show you come to see might be different than the average show you might see.
However, rock and roll, I would remind you, going back to the earliest roots, was all about rebellion and speaking out about the issues of the day. Some of the great songs that are like hits now were actually protest songs when they came out.
Absolutely. And that's something that I constantly think about. You know, like I think I meet young artists who are maybe either hesitant to talk about politics or talk about how they feel about what's going on in the world in their song because they don't want to jeopardize their own success. But like what you just said, the songs that we're talking about, war and poverty and politics, are the song in the 70s are the songs that live in our jukeboxes today.
Right.
Those were important songs that, and to me, you know, who came a generation after that, I feel like I learned so much about that time in our history, not just from history books, but from those songs. They really helped me feel what it was like to be alive in that time.
We are speaking with Tim McElrath on 93.3 WMMR. The latest album, which came out now almost a year ago, is called Wolves. You've had great success and some wonderful songs on there, Violence and the album title track, but and Welcome to the Breakdown I really like. But the latest single I'm just crazy about, even though it's relatively speaking not that new for you guys, House on Fire is, first of all, it's just got this great energy in the music of it. Different people have tried to interpret where you're going with it, and many would say it's a relationship song, but I've heard that you have other thoughts in terms of what it's about.
Yeah, you know, when that song was coming together, it started with a basic outline of just like a love song. And then as I was creating it, I really wanted to make it a song that was more about what it's like to be a parent, what it's like to be a father, what it's like to raise children, which is something that I'm doing. And so it was something that was really on my mind. And I really wanted to commit what this feels like, especially as I was having conversations with my own friends about the trials and tribulations of raising kids. And that's kind of where House on Fire all came from. And so I think to the layman, you might just hear it as it passes by and think of it as just like a love song, which is great too, if that's what you do. But there are some layers behind it if you peel them back.
Well, if you're doing the job of parenting right, what you're doing is going from raising someone that has absolute and complete and full dependence on you and slowly releasing them, which in a way is a breakup from you, the parents, so that they can find their own way in life, even though you're never going to let go of them. And there's a great power in that. But I think, I don't have kids, but if I did, I think that would be one of the hardest transitions to make as a parent, the idea that they go from a complete dependence to hopefully full independence.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great way of putting it. That's kind of, you're right, that's sort of your mission, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I wanted to ask you about Chester. You had said some really wonderful things about Chester. And one of the things I found interesting is when you had crossed paths with him on tour, you said he was so unstressed and light as a feather. He had that disposition of somebody who just walked out of a massage, floating and smiling and happy and unbothered by the buzz of activity around him, even when there'd be a tour manager right behind him saying, Chester, you have to go. You have to be on stage in 90 seconds. He'd be going like, hey, man, how was your day? In other words, that wonderful presentation in the times I interviewed him, and Chris for that matter, never would we guess, even though we knew of their prior demons, that they were facing such challenges personally.
Yes, and that's really what made it really surprising, what made everything so surprising. It just, like, when I first saw it, really, I thought it was a hoax. You know, I thought, no, you know, like, it's not that guy. Like, I meet tortured people out here on the road. You know, sometimes the torture is the reason people are starting bands and writing music and putting pen to paper, you know, and that's sort of lives inside a lot of us. But he was just not one of those guys who had any of those outward signs of that. And so it was so surprising, it was alarming, and it also made me realize, like, there are people that you're going to meet in this world that do a great job of holding it all together. But I think that doing a job like Chester's job, where a band like Linkin Park was channeling a lot of angst and anger, and obviously doing it effectively because they were communicating to such a huge audience of dedicated listeners, and doing it for so long, doing that job is kind of like being a lion tamer. That if you're a really good lion tamer at the circus, you make it look easy. You make it look like almost anybody could do it, because that's how good you are at doing it. But at the end of the day, it's still a lion. And it's still something very dangerous that you're playing with and that you're toying with. And that when you take some of the songs that Linkin Park was singing and how they go to some dark places, that's a lion that you're taming every day. And that lion still has teeth. It still has claws. It's still a dangerous thing. He was good because he made it look easy. But what he was doing was also had some element of danger to it.
And even though Make It Stop September's Children speaks to really young people, it could go to anyone who's facing monsters in their life. The idea of not giving up, of, you know, hanging on because there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. And that light is even brighter sometimes when you go through that dark time. I think that you experience a light that people who have never gone through a dark time might not ever experience.
We've been speaking with Tim McElrath. The latest album, which has been out since last June, is called Wolves. That latest single, House on Fire, doing so well. And they're going to be with us this summer, along with AFI and Anti-Flag, and they'll be at the Festival Pier, Penn's Landing. It went on sale earlier today, and it'll be August 4th. We can't wait to have you guys back in town. And thank you for spending some time with us on MMR.
The pleasure is ours. Philly's going to be an awesome show. It's Festival Pier is an amazing venue for an already amazing tour. I look forward to all of it. That's going to be a highlight of the tour for sure. It'll be great to be out there with AFI and Anti-Flag and all of our incredible fans. The last time we played there with Deftones was definitely one of the best shows of that whole tour as well. So we're looking forward to getting back.
Cool. All right, man. Take care. All the best.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, Pierre. Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against, just wishing MMR a happy 50th anniversary. Congratulations. What you guys do is incredible and important. Please keep doing it.